Welcome to AgriPulse Newsmakers, where we aim to take you to the heart of ag policy. I'm your host, Andrew Hunneke. This week's guest is Kansas Republican Senator Jerry Moran, who joins us to talk about the future of the Farm Bill and agriculture in the next Trump administration. But first, here's this week's headlines. The Agriculture Department will provide $2 billion to fruit, vegetable, and nut growers through a new program called the Marketing Assistance Program for Specialty Crops. The program will help specialty crop growers maintain a strong domestic supply and expand market opportunities for their crops. The department plans to take applications starting in December. Some people in the food, nutrition, and agriculture industry are concerned that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. could affect the upcoming Dietary Guidelines for Americans and the FDA's healthy foods definition. Kennedy was nominated by President-elect Trump to lead the Department of Health and Human Services. Trump has said he would allow Kennedy to go wild on food issues, but it's unclear how much influence Kennedy will have. He will oversee FDA, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, and other agencies. FDA regulates about 80% of the U.S. food supply, as well as animal feed, animal drugs, and animal biotechnology. USDA oversees the safety of meat and poultry. And finally, lawmakers are thinking about adding some farm bill elements, including new funding for commodity programs and crop insurance premium reimbursements, to an end-of-the-year aid package. There are also talks about possibly using unspent funding from the Inflation Reduction Act to permanently increase funding levels for farm bill conservation programs. There's concerns that passing a full farm bill may even be harder to do next year because of the impact of market downturn on the cost of boosting commodity programs. We asked Senator Jerry Moran how important it was for these provisions to be added into the package.
Well, of course, we're in very preliminary stages, but the form is beginning, I think, to take shape. Yesterday, we had a hearing in the Senate Appropriations Committee on disaster issues broadly, but agriculture was a significant component, and our Appropriations Committee has a lot of farm state members, Senator Hovind, Senator Bozeman, myself, Senator Fisher, Senator Hyde-Smith, all talked to USDA officials about the importance of disaster assistance being included. It appears to me that it's going to take the form of ERP, and I can assure our viewers that we're absolutely committed to making sure that this ERP payment is one that is actually beneficial to producing farmers. And so what I would expect is that we'll have additional hearings and working sessions within the Appropriations Committee. I know that the House and Senate, at least Republican leadership of those two committees, have talked. It appears to be zeroing in on an agricultural disaster amount of about $24 billion. And my guess is this will be related to the losses that are demonstrated by crop insurance indemnity payments. And we'll be back in a position in which we're adding to those payments based upon this formula that allows us to get disaster assistance to farmers across the country.
I'd like to get your thoughts more on the farm bill. The bill is essentially dead for this year, but I do want to ask, is it going to be hard to pass a farm bill next year too? We know Republicans are going to have a very thin margin in the House next year. Some experts are saying it's going to be even more expensive to increase reference prices. Just want to get your thoughts on that.
Well, I think though it's going to be difficult. I mean, we've seen this year the starts and stops and the resulting failure to get this done. One of the reasons that we need disaster assistance payments is because the failure to pass a farm bill. The indemnity payments of Title I under the farm bill is not available. And even if it was, it's so late now that those payments would occur too late to be of help to farmers who are hanging on in many instances by thread. I mean, this is a real disaster. This is not something that's made up, and it's not election year politics in which we're trying to figure out how do we help farmers who don't need help. This is about a real serious thing. I think the farm bill will be difficult as usual. I would guess it would take more money. We're hoping to find more baseline dollars to make the farm bill easier to write. But we also know that Senator Bozeman will be the chairman of the Agriculture Committee in the Senate, and such a perfect person to work with others to get it accomplished. The administration will be helpful. President-elect Trump was elected in broad ways in rural America. And I would also expect just politically the Democrats would be looking for ways in which they can regain their political strength in rural parts of the country.
We'll be right back with more from Senator Jerry Moran right after this.
Regenerative poultry production is a process by which nature can actually recapture and restore the energy that is being taken out of a space.
Farm Credit helped Rahi build his dream of regenerative poultry farming and encouraging fellow immigrants to find community in agriculture.
Nothing beats a farm. I'm just pursuing happiness.
Learn more at farmcredit.com/beginning.
Farmers are always there for each other. We shed tears together. We celebrate together. But we also grow together. Farm Bureau is the largest general farm organization in the country. We have the farmers' back. If you're a farmer and you're not a member, we would welcome you into our Farm Bureau family. And if you want to know more about agriculture, come be part of this great family.
Welcome back. There's about a month left before the end of lame duck. We asked Senator Jerry Moran if there'd be less pressure on Congress to pass a new farm bill if the disaster aid package is passed in December.
I think not. The aid package, I spent the month of August and the month of October basically in Kansas, traveling the state. I put more than 5,000 miles on my truck both of those months. And the circumstances that farmers face disaster-wise are real. And, you know, we're always trying to get away from ad hoc disaster assistance. A good farm bill potentially eliminates the need for future ad hoc disaster programs. It increases the importance. And I tell you that the circumstances, the farmers that have been in my office that come to Washington, D.C., the farm implement dealers, we have a lot of implement manufacturers in Kansas. Those circumstances really are playing out throughout the rural economy. And I think that disaster payments are separate and don't have a significant or serious consequence toward getting a farm bill completed.
I want to get your thoughts. How do you think this incoming Trump administration is going to be different from his first term when it comes to agriculture?
Well, I mean, that remains to be seen, clearly. But I do know that the president, President Trump, has shown strong support for agriculture, for rural communities, for farmers and ranchers. And I expect that to be the case once again. And what I would say is that we need to know who the Secretary of Agriculture is. And that is, at least at this point, to me, is certainly unknown.
I know President-elect Trump has been steadfast on tariffs. He's remained steadfast on the point that he's going to impose these across-the-board tariffs, particularly on China. Do farmers have a right to be concerned that this could lead to another trade war?
Well, it is a concern. Agricultural exports matter. What we produce more in the United States than we can sell at home. We need to find more markets, renewable fuels. We need to find more export opportunities. It seems to me this administration, the Trump administration in this round, is going to be focused on the bilateral trade agreements with other countries. And there are a couple that are outstanding that have been worked on in the past but not concluded. And we'd encourage that. But we need to be careful how we apply tariffs to make sure that we don't have retaliatory consequences and loss of markets. So this will be an ongoing conversation.
And we know President-elect Trump has nominated Robert F. Kennedy Jr. to lead the Department of Health and Human Services. A two-parter for you here. First off, will you support his nomination? And then what do you tell your constituents who may be worried about his views on issues like the use of farm protection products and the use of soybean oil in food?
I have intentionally not taken a position on any of the nominees until they actually come before me, in some cases in a committee and otherwise on the Senate floor. And we'll see how those attitudes and approaches of those nominees develop through Senate hearings and the confirmation process. But it will also give us an opportunity to have conversations with those nominees about the things that are important to our constituents and the things that matter at home. So I think this process needs to play out. The confirmation hearings need to occur. And of course, the president can't actually make those nominations until he takes the oath of office.
Senator Jerry Moran, thank you so much for joining us, sir.
You're welcome. Thank you.
We'll be right back with our panel discussion. But first, Lydia Johnson has a look at what your Thanksgiving feast will cost in this week's Ag by the Numbers.
A Thanksgiving feast for 10 people will cost about $58 this year, according to the annual American Farm Bureau Federation's Thanksgiving Dinner Survey. While this is down 5% from 2023, the price is still about 20% higher than 5 years ago. As you can see on this chart, the peak Thanksgiving meal price in 2022 was $64, with both turkey and side dish prices reaching highs. The classic dinner's grocery bill is a mixed bag for shoppers. 7 items dropped in price, including turkey, sweet potatoes, frozen peas, a vegetable tray of carrots and celery, pumpkin pie mix, pie crust, and whole milk. The remaining 4 items tracked annually in the survey, dinner rolls, fresh cranberries, whipping cream, and cube stuffing, rose in price. The price of turkey accounts for about 44% of the meal bill. Farmers raised 6% fewer turkeys this year due to the impacts of highly pathogenic avian influenza, with U.S. turkey production reaching the lowest level since 1985. However, Americans consumed less turkey this year, so prices actually dropped for shoppers. For AgriPulse, I'm Lydia Johnson.
Elevate your game and set your sights on Denver for the 2025 Commodity Classic. With technology that moves faster than fluctuating markets and information as important as a million-dollar rain, Commodity Classic is designed for growers of all kinds, where you'll broaden your horizons as you improve yield and ROI one bushel at a time. Take your operation to new heights and join us for Elevating Excellence in Agriculture, March 2nd through 4th in Denver. Learn more at commodityclassic.com.
Don't miss the must-attend policy event of the year. Register now for the 2025 AgriPulse Ag and Food Policy Summit. Hear from the diverse players who are trying to navigate taxes, trade, and technology as we dive into what's ahead for food and agriculture. The summit takes place on Monday, March 17th at the National Press Club in Washington, D.C. and through our virtual experience. View the agenda and register today under the Events tab at AgriPulse.com.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Newsmakers, where this week's panel is going to be focused on the Farm Bill and some of President-elect Trump's new appointees. We're joined today by Aaron Shire with the National Farmers Union and R.J. Carney with the National Association of State Departments of Agriculture. Appreciate both of you gentlemen for joining us today. And Aaron, I wanted to start with you first. Lawmakers are making the case for a year-end package that would include ag disaster aid as well as assistance for farmers who've been hurt by the decline in commodity prices. What do you hope to see in that package?
We know those conversations are going on, but I hope that right now we don't lose sight that America's family farmers and ranchers, what they really want and need right now is to pass a 5-year farm bill. And they need that certainty. They need that stability. And we need a bill that strengthens disaster assistance and the farm safety net, provides robust voluntary conservation, and also makes markets more competitive and fair. We have a House bill, and even more recently, we know we have a Senate bill. So now's the time to get this done. That said, we know the congressional calendar is not favorable to that scenario, and that some members are turning their attention to a short-term package. And we understand that, and if that's the route Congress goes, we absolutely do need robust relief. We welcome the disaster relief announcement from the administration, the request that just came out this week. And the natural disasters in recent years have been absolutely devastating to crops, livestock, infrastructure, and to our rural communities. So we absolutely need to be looking at disaster assistance. And we're glad they're taking a look at the economic assistance, if you will, side of things. Two, we know the economic conditions are rough, that commodity prices are down, that input costs remain high, interest rates are high. So short of a 5-year farm bill, I think that the conversation is generally on the right track. And if we do head the route of an extension, that disaster assistance and economic assistance will be an important part of that. And we need to make sure family farmers and ranchers go into next year on solid footing.
And RJ, I'd like to bring you into the discussion, sir. If Congress is able to come up with this funding for farmers now, do you think that's going to make it more difficult for them to pass a new farm bill next year?
If there is an extension, and we are talking about a 2025 farm bill, I really have full confidence that the four corners of the House and Senate Ag Committee with new leadership over in the Senate and seeing ultimately getting those staffs in place. There's going to be a directive to get a farm bill done, to get certainty and provide farmers and ranchers with that stability for a farm bill. We would like to see that get done earlier in the year, not see it continue to get punted and pushed down the calendar, because calendars, especially with a new administration coming in, are going to fill up quickly. I will just want to quickly mention on the disaster packages, just to put some numbers out there. We've heard directly from some of our southern states on the estimated losses, specifically with Hurricane Helene and Milton. Florida is looking at losses of $3.5 billion, Georgia, $3.2 billion, North Carolina, $4 billion, South Carolina, $500 million, Tennessee, $1.3 billion, and Virginia, $169 million. This is a package that we're watching very closely and are strongly engaged with members of Congress in this lame duck session. There's a lot to get done. The calendar is filling up, but farmers and ranchers do need assistance at this current moment.
And Aaron, how much do you think, or what do you think the prospects are for getting a new farm bill next year, given that Republicans still will have a narrow majority in the House?
Yeah, if we do end up with a five-year farm bill reauthorization being on the table next year, we know that there are many challenges to getting it done. That's why there's really no time like the present. That's why it would be great to get the farm bill done, and we think Congress should get the farm bill done. But there are a number of reasons to think it'd be tough next year, and it's just the new dynamics in Congress overall. We'll have freshman members of Congress coming in who need to be educated on a farm bill. The incoming administration has a really big agenda. There's a lot that could suck the oxygen out of the room, as I think a lot of people have said. And we also understand that the farm bill math is likely to get more difficult. Of course, Farmers Union, we stand ready to work with Congress and the next administration to get a farm bill done as quickly as possible next year, if that's the scenario that we're in. But we really think that right now is the right time.
We'll be right back with more of our panel discussion right after this.
It's not as simple just to wake up one day and go, I want to be a conservation farmer. You're changing how your farming practice is done. You're changing your operation.
Farm Credit supported John and Kelly Watley as they shifted to more sustainable farming, improving the environment where they farm and live. Learn more at farmcredit.com/climate.
Farmers are always there for each other. We shed tears together. We celebrate together. But we also grow together. Farm Bureau is the largest general farm organization in the country. We have the farmers' back. If you're a farmer and you're not a member, we would welcome you into our Farm Bureau family. And if you want to know more about agriculture, come be part of this great family.
Welcome back. President-elect Trump has nominated Robert F. Kennedy Jr. to lead the Health and Human Services Department. We asked R.J. Carney with NASDA how RFK would impact food and ag policy.
I think agriculture at large just have a very strong, robust story to share. Just think about the ag economic impact. Contributes more than $1.5 trillion to the GDP. Employment is more than 15% of U.S. employment. So there's going to be, I think, a lot of conversations. We have to wait for Senate to make all of their confirmations. And NASDA, I think agriculture at large, we're ready to share those stories. We're ready to be at the table, talk about the direct impacts that food and agriculture have, farmers and ranchers, and just have that conversation. From a NASDA perspective, we have a strong relationship with FDA. Work very closely. We really do prioritize and education, prevention, with regards to a food safety framework. And when it comes to our State Departments of Ag, they're the front lines of defense when it comes to food safety. So we really want to empower America farmers with proactive and preventative food safety practices. And that's the conversation we're ready to have with every member, cabinet official, undersecretaries, administrators, whichever office they may eventually hold. We're ready to have that conversation and look forward to it.
And Aaron, President-elect Trump selected Wall Street veteran Howard Lutnick to oversee the administration's trade and tariff policy, as well as run the Commerce Department. Do you think that President Trump will continue to move forward with his threats on tariffs for all of these ag imports and possibly start new trade wars?
Regardless of who's in what seat and any administrative structure changes that might occur around trade, what's important for us is that the administration takes a measured and cooperative approach to trade. And tariffs on imported goods to China, they were really devastating to many farmers and ranchers when the president-elect during his previous administration put those in place. Farmers lost markets that had taken decades to build, and we just can't have a repeat of that. That said, the next administration, there's certainly other ways we hope to work with them on trade or where we see opportunities. For example, we should have truthful and transparent labeling for products that are coming into the country. And we'd like to see the incoming administration reinstate mandatory country of origin labeling for beef. There's bipartisan legislation out there to that effect and a growing call to do that. So we think there are opportunities around trade, and we look forward to working with the next administration.
And wrapping up, one last question for you, RJ. Elon Musk, Vivek Ramaswamy this week outlining ways to make sweeping cuts in federal spending and regulation without congressional approval. Do you think they're going to be able to pull this off, and how could that affect farmers?
State Department of Agriculture perspective, and we hold this true. We are, State Departments of Ag are co-regulators with the federal government. So we will have a seat at the table, look forward to working with the administration across the board on opportunities to build up programs, evaluate programs, but then also share the story of the U.S. farmer, all the benefits food and ag provide to the U.S. economy. And we're going to be ready to share that story with members of Congress and the incoming administration. But our role as State Departments of Agriculture, that co-regulatory role, is really a main focus that we look forward to working collaboratively with this incoming administration in the years to come.
Certainly a lot to be paying attention to with the Farm Bill and how the Trump administration appointees will impact agriculture in the future. Aaron, RJ, thank you so much for joining us. We'll be right back with more AgriPulse newsmakers, but first, Lydia Johnson has a look at nationwide CRP enrollment in this week's Map It Out.
Conservation Reserve Program enrollment is heavily concentrated in the Midwest and Plains, according to the USDA Farm Service Agency's October CRP monthly summary. General sign-up closed in March this year, with contracts becoming effective on October 1st. There are currently over 543,000 contracts, with over 300,000 farmers as of October, totaling 26 million acres enrolled. As you can see on this map, Minnesota led the nation in sign-ups by state, followed by South Dakota, Iowa, North Dakota, and Illinois, respectively. Each green dot represents 1,000 acres enrolled. Practices enrolled can vary by state. Nationwide, wetland restoration, grass filter strips, and duck nesting habitat were some of the most popular practices. Program payments are estimated to total nearly $1.9 billion for 2025, averaging about $72 per acre. For AgriPulse, I'm Lydia Johnson.
Looking closer, seeing further. That's how we do it. At Curious Plot, we're driven to find what's next for agriculture, animal care, and food. We stay curious because that's what it takes to grow understanding. That's how we plot strategies and tell stories that get results time after time. Marketing, communications, and consulting that look closer and see further. Curious Plot. We can't wait to help you tell your story.
Achieving excellence isn't easy. It's reserved for those willing to work for it. Farmers like you, who strive for bigger yields and better education. People who settle for nothing less than the very best, because you know excellence can only be achieved through hard work, commitment, and perseverance. Take your operation to new heights and join us for the 2025 Commodity Classic, Elevating Excellence in Agriculture, March 2nd through 4th in Denver. Learn more at commodityclassic.com.
Welcome back. Before we let you go, here's what's on the horizon for the upcoming week. Congress is out of session until the first week of December. USDA's monthly agricultural prices report comes out Friday. And we hope you have a great Thanksgiving with friends and family. We'll bring you a special episode next week with more interviews from the National Association of Farm Broadcasting's annual conference in Kansas City. As always, stay tuned for the latest on this and more at AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Newsmakers, I'm Andrew Hunneke. Thanks for watching.
Newsmakers is a production of AgriPulse Communications. You can also find our new content on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to follow AgriPulse and our correspondents on social media to get breaking news and more. For agriculture, trade, food, environment, and regulatory news, your source is AgriPulse.com.